Hello and welcome to our first in this series in 1 Timothy, which we are calling God's Church Manual. Now, when we talk about a church, we're talking about the only church the Bible talks about, and that is a local church. There's no such thing as a so-called invisible universal church. It's just not in the Bible. Now, to have a local church, there are some requirements in the Word of God. First of all, you need to have a pastor. You need to have a place, and you need to have a purpose. Now, the place could be a nice building, a fancy building, a nice little country church, or it could be in some developing country under a tree where they just don't have buildings. In fact, for the first 200-300 years in the early church, they didn't have any buildings, and they seemed to do better without them than we're doing with them. However, a manual, now we're talking about God's church manual, and a manual is simply operating instructions. And so we need to know as we get into this study, what is God's purpose for a church? We need to know our God-given responsibilities. We need to know our God-given purpose in the church as it is today. Now, as we look at 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy and the book of Titus, I'm not sure we'll look at all three of those, we might, but we'll see how it goes. As we look at these three books, they are written specifically to the pastor. 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Timothy was the pastor at the church at Ephesus there, and then of course his name was Titus. These are instructions that are written. And the Bible plainly says the purpose here is that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. That's the purpose for these books. Some books are written, you'll look at and it'll say to the saints at Corinth or to the saints at Philippi. These three books are specifically written to the pastor that the pastor might know how he ought to behave himself in the house of God. Now there's applications here for all of us as parents, as Christians in general, but we need to understand when you study the Word of God, we need to ask ourselves who's talking and to whom is he talking to. So 1 Timothy, as we get into this study, we will see that in the first chapter, we have the pastor's responsibility, and his responsibility is to confront false teachers. Now, that's a very unpleasant thing to have to do that, but that is the pastor's responsibility. As we get to the end of the book, we'll see in the last chapter that once again, the pastor's responsibility is to confront false teachers. Now, that's an unpleasant thing, but it's a responsibility of the pastor. If you don't want to do it, get a different job. But that's what we're supposed to do as pastors. Now, in between, from chapters 2 through the first part of chapter 6, we have instructions concerning the pastor, his responsibilities, and how he needs to handle them. Once again, these things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly, but Paul said, this can't wait in case I don't make it shortly, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Now, if all goes well today, we'll look at the first four verses. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went unto Macedonia, that thou mightest charge them that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. So, as we look at verse number 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Now, Paul, his name occurs over 180 times in the Bible. He started out working for Satan, but he met the Lord on the Damascus Road. And the thing about that meeting was everything changed. Now, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." When you get saved, if you're genuinely born again, you will have a new love for the Word of God. You'll have a new love for the people of God. You will have a new desire to do the will of God, and you will have peace with God. If these things are not a reality in your life, then take a look at 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Once again, everything changes when we meet Jesus Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Also in verse number 1, we see he's an apostle by the commandment of God. Now, it is not a career move. Paul was not seeking to make a name for himself. He said, "I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." All the counsel of God for Paul, and he is telling this pastor, and he's telling us these things are written for our admonition, not to be shunning the entire counsel of God. That would include exposing compromisers. And he named Hymenaeus and Philetus and Alexander and Hermogenes. He even confronted Peter to his face before them all when he did wrong. "I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." All the pleasant things? Oh, yeah, it's nice to talk about the love of the Lord. Nice to talk about the second coming. Nice to talk about all the victories we can have. Not so nice to expose the compromisers. But that is what the pastor's responsibility is to do. In contrast, we see the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the counsel of God. And so to reject is to dismiss something as being inadequate, inappropriate, or not according to one's taste. Well, it's not according to my taste to expose compromisers. I hate that. But if we're going to do what God has given us the responsibility to do, you're either going to line up with Paul the Apostle, or we're going to line up with the Pharisees. Excuse me. Now also, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Now he's telling this young pastor, Timothy, he's saying, you better keep a focus on your hope. Because what it's talking about here, when it says hope, the word means expectations. It doesn't mean, boy, I really hope this happens. But it means an expectation, which is a strong belief that something will happen in the future. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. I'll tell you get involved in doing the things that we do in the local church can be very heartbreaking sometimes. But in 1 Corinthians, he says, referring to the resurrection of Christ, he said in this chapter, and if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and our faith is also in vain. And so as he concludes this portion of Scripture in chapter 15, he's looking to a strong belief that something will happen in the future. And that is in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Therefore, he said. Now, he's saying to this pastor, you better keep an eye on your expectations. If you're going to get involved, if you're looking for joy in the local church, and the local church is important, and it does bring a lot of joy. But I've been doing this for a lot of years, and it's a toss-up whether it brings more joys or more heartaches. It's a rough situation when you have to confront people that are doing evil, and you have to have church discipline and all of those things. And so Paul says to Timothy, keep an eye on the future. keep an eye on what we're expecting here. Life is but a vapor, and let's do things, and let's do things according to God's will, because one of these days, and I think pretty soon, we're going to be talking to the Lord face to face. 1 Timothy 1 and 2, we read who it's written to, as we said, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, which is an indication he led him to the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Once again, he is writing unto Timothy, who was the pastor at the church at Ephesus. And he says, these things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou, pastor, may know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Now, I've said over the years, and I've said it many times to our church people, here, get in the book of 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, get in the book of Titus. It tells you how your pastor's supposed to be doing things. And if you see something that I'm doing incorrectly, please come and tell me about it. I don't want to do it wrong. I want to do what the Bible says to do. And so it is, if you're listening to this program, you better be careful here. We have a responsibility, but if you're going to approach the pastor on what you think he's doing or not doing correctly, you better have a very humble attitude and respect the position. It's not our responsibility to straighten out the pastor, but it is our responsibility as Christians to say, pastor, I don't understand this. Why are we doing this, or why are we not doing that? But do it with a very humble attitude, or you will be in trouble with God. Unto Timothy, my own son, in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. In the faith. Acts chapter 14, it says here that we need to continue in the faith. Acts 16, we read that we need to be established in the faith. Romans 14 talks about those that are weak in the faith. 1 Corinthians 16, those that are steadfast in the faith. Colossians 2, established in the faith. Timothy chapter 3, great boldness in the faith. Titus 1:13, sound in the faith. Titus 3:15, them that love us in the faith. There's a nice one. 1 Peter 5:9, resist, who we need to resist, steadfast in the faith. And 2 Corinthians 13, as we mentioned, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Now, Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 9, verse 29, according to your faith, be it unto you. How's your faith? What are you doing with what you say you believe? Now, to the pastor, he says there's three things here that are very important that you better make sure that you're in line with. And he said to my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we have in 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus, these are the only three books where the introduction includes only these three words, grace, mercy, and peace from God. The pastor is going to have grace, he's going to have mercy, and he's going to have peace. Now, grace is in the desire and the ability to do God's will. As you look at this subject of grace, and it is a tremendous subject, we need to always look at it in the context in which it is written. The Bible talks about saving grace, but here it's talking about serving grace. And in this context, grace has to do with the desire and the ability to do God's will. Some people have the desire to do God's will and don't have much ability. Some people have great ability to do God's will and have very little desire, if any. What we need to have, and it's a gift of God, is the desire and the ability to do God's will where He has put us to do it. And that can be as a pastor, that can be as a parent. Whatever positions we have, we need the desire and the ability to do God's will. And then mercy is having compassion for those who do not deserve it. Now, you're going to find out as we pastor a church, I'm speaking to pastors right now, we better have compassion for those who don't deserve to have it. You know, it's very easy for me to have compassion on the people who have compassion on me, but I have a little more problem with having compassion on the ones who are kicking me in the head when I've just been trying to help them for the last 3 years. This is something we need to have if we're going to be like Christ, because he gave us his compassion, and none of us deserve to have that. Then a peace that passes understanding. Peace is not the absence of trials and problems in a local church, but it is the presence of God as we seek to do those things that God wants us to do. Verse number 3, Paul said, I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went unto Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some there that they teach no other doctrine. Now, he's saying to this young pastor, don't quit. Now, you need to stay there, abide still at Ephesus, and you need to charge some that they teach no other doctrine. This is very, very important. And so first we see Paul charges Timothy about the mess that he has to deal with. And this was not a time to start a campaign to increase the attendance. If we look in the Word of God, the first time we find Christ upset about sin, it had to do with sin in his Father's house. In John chapter 2, we see that Jesus made a scourge of small cords, and he drove them out of the temple. He was not concerned about what this might do concerning the offerings. We read he poured the money out on the floor. He was not concerned about making the building look nice for the visitors. He overthrew the table. The responsibility, thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. The problem is, if you've got that other doctrine coming in, the sheep are going to be there feeding on it, and that is going to influence them to do wrong. No other doctrine. The Bible talks about good doctrine, doctrine of vanities, new doctrine, the apostles' doctrine, a form of doctrine, contrary doctrine. It talks about every wind of doctrine, other doctrine, sound doctrine. It talks about doctrine according to godliness. And Paul talked about my doctrine, talks about profitable doctrine, doctrine of God, the doctrine of Christ, doctrines of baptism, doctrines of Balaam. There's a lot of doctrines in the Bible, and what we need to be doing is to make sure that the sheep aren't feasting on some other doctrine that somebody who doesn't know what he's talking about is feeding the sheep. So we need to be careful. We need to search the scriptures daily to see if these things be so, and make sure we're getting the sheep what they need to get. Then in verse 4, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Now, in Proverbs chapter 17, verse number 4, it says, a wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty or a wicked tongue. Now, notice it says, a wicked doer giveth heed. A liar giveth ears. The one who is listening to this is called here in the Word of God, he's called wicked, and he's called a liar. The one who is promoting whatever he's gossiping about is referred to as wicked. Wicked people choose wicked people for their companions. And so if we're guilty of listening to something that somebody is undermining the pastor, we are a wicked doer, we are a liar giving ear to a wicked tongue. Let's make sure that we're not getting involved in this as church members. But what Paul says to Timothy is it's going to happen. You need to be prepared for this, and you need to understand exactly how to handle these situations. Amos 3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Both these men are agreed. They're listening. To listen is to give consent. To listen to a troublemaker is to give consent to his wickedness. In Proverbs 13 it says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. In Psalm 119, verse 63, David said, I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. Well, we'll conclude it here. 1 Timothy, we'll look at these four verses again before we go. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went unto Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying. Be sure and be with us for our next in this series in 1 Timothy chapter 1.